Views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
We got to do some adjusting here.
Yeah, there's some adjustments that need to be made on the studio.
Okay, that's a little better here.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. My name is Mark Kent. I'm your host once again, and today is Sunday, December 18th, 2022, if you can believe that. I'm here in the University of Hard Knocks, epicenter of freedom, and we're brought to you by Julie Foster, Allstate Insurance agent, and she's down there in Red Bluff on Main Street at 810. Her phone number is 527-5534. She is the best, and she will take care of all your insurance needs. Also,
she is very good.
Also, Luke Pearson Construction, Custom Homes and Excavating, 530-605-9575. He's licensed and bonded, and he does the job right. Also, shout out to Marty McGill over there at Clear Creek Microgreens. Try to say that fast.
Microgreens? Here we go.
Tripping over my tongue already.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Shut up.
I'm just saying. And then, have a Merry Christmas.
We're brought to you by Mountaintop. Shut your...
Better be careful.
Shut your mouth. Shut up. Mountaintopmedia.com. And also, shout out Big Big O Tires, Jay and the gang. And I'm here in the sister studio. I'm studio with my sister.
What have you been doing this morning? I mean, come on, get with the program.
Quiet. I'm not talking.
Good morning,
anymore.
And good morning, Liam. In there.
Good morning.
You're gonna get the silent treatment.
Really? Thanks. I'm liking it. I like it.
All right. Well, we have a fast-paced show, as usual. The kid that rocks around the clock is on sabbatical.
Yes,
he is.
We're
not sure when he'll be back.
I got a couple shout-outs. I want to give a shout-out to Frank Rose. I know he's kind of under the weather right now, and we surely miss you on Sunday mornings. When you're not here.
Yeah.
You make our morning, our little mascot. We love you.
Get
better.
Get well soon, Frankie.
Yeah. Also to I want to give a shout out to Lori Bridgeford. You know, she always thinks of everybody all the time, and especially at Christmas, and I really appreciate your gifts. I called you when you were leaving the studio. I was honking, and I think she thought I was... Anyway, I was trying to catch her, but that was me honking at you, Lori. I have something for you, so just wanted to let you know.
She
was looking all around because I was honking and I was waving, you know, trying to get her attention. And
she's very thoughtful, and she's amazing to me sometimes the way she, every year we've gotten some kind of a Christmas, basket or bag or something from her.
It's cool.
It's at the office. I brought it in. I left it on my table. I brought it in yesterday and left it at the office so we could split it, if you will, as opposed to me hoarding it.
That's all right. I have my own.
Do you? Well, then
I got my own this morning because she loves me.
You're not getting nothing then. You're getting nothing.
So, but, yeah, she's always very thoughtful about that, and we appreciate you greatly, Lori.
Absolutely.
In many ways.
And actually, I have a story here that she sent me this morning. And we would like to thank all of our contributors out
yes.
there. Yes. You know, we don't put all this stuff together ourselves, although, I mean, I do a lot of work putting it into the show. But I get, you know, clips and articles and, you know, missives from all over the place. I mean, all over the country, all over the world, actually. And so I try to call through them and figure out what is going to be the most pertinent because the news cycle is changing so quickly. So I mean, it's like...
Oh, you can't keep up with it.
You can't keep up with what's pertinent yesterday is irrelevant today because something else has happened on top of that, you know. So it's it is crazy. I'll tell you what, and crazy is...
Yeah, it changes from the crazy. Time you leave your house till the time you get to the studio on some of the stuff, so...
Yeah, I see Jimmy's in the chat room. I just got there. I haven't checked in yet here. Now I'm there. I'll talk to him in a minute. Let's get the rest of this stuff on the road, on the show on the road. And as they say, it's a road show.
You know, before we get started, I just wanted to say something about, you know, I think people in Shasta County especially should look back at the last year and see of all the good accomplishments that we have accomplished in Shasta County. I mean, we did a recall, and we were successful in that. I mean, we did got people in District 1, District 5. We got people on school boards,
right.
on local committees.
We're starting to win, and the more things that are coming out, the more people are realizing that, as I've been saying for, what, 30 years, man's worst enemy has been his own government forever.
Right.
You know, that's why you had to bind them down with the chains of a constitution. That's what the founders said. They were so afraid of their own government getting out of control. Look what happened. Why did they revolt in the first place? Because the Stamp Act, the Tea Act, you know, the Tea Tax,
right.
you know, one thing after another was always government. Who sends you to war? Who takes all your money? Who taxes you into servitude? Who confiscates your property? It's government is always government. And here we are today living what they went through at a different level of technology, basically.
Right. Yeah. So I want, you know, kind of reflect back over the year. It is the holidays. It is Christmas time. And I think people ought to be very proud in what they've done and accomplishing and plugging in. And I just want to get a shout out to all those patriots out there.
I think that's a very, very appropriate sentiment. And I think that's a good thing. And I think we're going in the right direction. But you know, we need to stay positive and we need to stay on track.
Right.
So, good.
And one last thing. There's a school board meeting this Tuesday at 5:30. It's kind of, I guess it was just like thrown in there, you know, one of those surprise meetings.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, it starts at 5:30 this Tuesday, and the address is 4411 Mountain Lakes Boulevard at the district office boardroom, just if in case you're going to attend that.
So where should we start? I was hacked yesterday, I believe, on my Facebook account. And I'm not sure all the ramifications of what happened, but I had several reports saying I was hacked, and so I changed everything and should be okay now. But
another reason that we all should just get off of Facebook.
Well,
it's hard. It's hard to do.
The more and more that is going to probably be the case and run to these social medias because these guys are all compromised. I mean, you know, the question is, who's working for who?
Exactly.
You know, number one, is the FBI working for the American people anymore?
No.
And, you know, the only question on Twitter after these releases from Musk, you know, we had the last Twitter files number six release,
yeah.
Is that the only question is
how deep does it really go?
Well, the question is Twitter a covert operation psyop for the FBI? Or is it really, you know, there for social media? I mean, good grief. I mean, you go back to DARPA and everything and
yeah.
Facebook and it was created and they changed the name. You know, now you got the metaverse and you got, you know, I don't know, what do you call the guy Zuckerface? I mean, the guy's
like a
doll with, yeah. He's got like shark eyes. He looks like a doll, you know, and he looks like he's been smoking a little too much of his digital medium there. But it is crazy. But I wanted to get that out of the way. So my account should be up and running and safe. Shout out to Mel. Happy birthday. That was me. And so anyway, I do want to start out with Tucker Carlson. I want to play, you know, we're going to cover some stuff on the CDC admissions.
You know, no, say it's not so.
I know. It's you just can't make this crap up. It just gets worse by the day, it seems like.
We didn't really lie. We just don't remember. I don't think I said that. I don't remember. I didn't lie, did I, Dr. Fauci?
You lie every time I talk to you when we were kids. You lied to me.
Oh, yeah, sure. Shall we get into why?
Never mind. Oh, I thought you were talking about something else.
Yeah. Who?
No. Shut.
I remember. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so Fauci lied about it.
Yeah,
never,
but he can't remember.
I'm going to get you back on track here. Fauci lied about everything. And so it's all coming out. We got that. I do have the clip from that I think is important that we should play for Donald Trump. He did a little speaking thing this last week about what he's going to do if he gets back into office. My thing is that after seeing everything, we got, you know, Joe Biden the pretender in office. So who is the real president here? I don't care what you think about Trump, but if they cheated Biden in, and it looks like they did.
Yeah, that's coming out more and more. No, that didn't go on. Yeah, that did go on.
So it looks like our real president is actually Donald Trump. Wow, you got
what interesting times and Carrie Lake.
Got Carrie Lake.
Yeah,
this morning tweeting some stuff out. Twitter's getting kind of interesting and crazy.
Yeah, did you see the headlines for Carrie Lake? It says, watch these evil bastards. If they think they're going to get away with it, they mess with the wrong bitch.
Yeah. Well,
I don't blame her. She should be,
I mean,
you know?
And they did, you know, provide, the judge said they're going to move forward and examine the evidence because, she doesn't have to prove there was fraud. All she has to prove is that there could have been fraud by showing the anomalies. Like, you know, there's like 17,000 votes that are, you know, something unusual about them, the signatures or whatever it is.
Right.
You got the machine shutting down. Oh, really? And mostly conservative districts. That was just an accident. You got her Hobbs certifying her own election. After all of these anomalies and going, and then threatening other people.
Exactly, yeah.
So, yeah, we're crazy days indeed. But I'm going to start off with Tucker here. And let's hear what Tucker has to say, and then we'll move on from there. Here we go.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson tonight.
Let me see if I can get this up.
Yeah.
Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald on camera in the basement of Dallas Police Headquarters. A lot of Americans started to have some questions about the Kennedy assassination. It was, you'd have to admit, a pretty extraordinary sequence of events. A lone gunman murders the President of the United States, and then, less than 48 hours later, that lone gunman is himself murdered by another lone gunman. What are the odds of that? It's one thing if you get struck by lightning, rare but possible. But if every member of your family also gets struck by lightning all on different days, you might begin to suspect these are not entirely natural events. But, oh, replied the U.S. government, they are. This bizarre chain of killings was all entirely natural. So less than a year after the JFK assassination, the Johnson White House released something called the Warren Commission Report. And the report concluded that while their motives remained unclear, both Lee Oswald and Jack Ruby had acted alone. No one helped them. There was no conspiracy of any kind. Case closed. Time to move on. And many Americans did move on. At the time, they had no idea how shoddy and corrupt the Warren Commission was. It would be nearly 50 years before the CIA admitted under duress that, in fact, it had withheld information from investigators about its relationship with Lee Harvey Oswald. But even then, at the time, before that was known, the government's explanation didn't seem entirely plausible, and some people started asking obvious questions about it. It was at that point, as Americans started to doubt the official story, that the term conspiracy theory entered our lexicon. As Professor Lance DeHaven Smith points out in his book on the subject, the term conspiracy theory did not exist as a phrase in everyday American conversation before 1964. In 1964, the year the Warren Commission issued its report, the New York Times published 5 stories in which conspiracy theory appeared. Now, today, of course, the term conspiracy theory appears in pretty much every New York Times story about American politics. It's wielded, now as then, as a weapon against anyone who asks questions the government doesn't feel like answering. But despite 60 years of name-calling, those questions have not disappeared. In fact, they have multiplied with time. And here's one of them. In April of 1964, a psychiatrist called Louis Joylin West visited Jack Ruby in his isolation cell in a Dallas jail. According to West's written assessment, he found that Jack Ruby was, quote, technically insane and in need of immediate psychiatric hospitalization. Those are conclusions that, puzzlingly, no one who had spoken to Jack Ruby previously had reached. Ruby had seemed perfectly sane to the people who knew him. Louis Joylin West pronounced him crazy. But what West did not say was that he was working for the CIA at the time. Louis Joylin West was a contract psychiatrist for the spy agency. He was also an expert on mind control and a prominent player in the now infamous MKUltra program, in which the CIA gave powerful psychiatric drugs to Americans without their knowledge. So of all the psychiatrists in the world, what in the world was this guy doing in Jack Ruby's prison cell? The media did not seem interested in finding out. In fact, the New York Times, in an extensive 1999 obituary of West, never mentioned the fact that he had worked for the CIA, much less his time in Jack Ruby's cell, which seems relevant. So you can see why non-crazy people would wonder about what really happened. And, of course, many have wondered. In 1976, long forgotten, the House of Representatives impaneled a special committee to reinvestigate the JFK assassination. Their bipartisan conclusion? Jack Kennedy was almost certainly murdered as the result of a conspiracy. But the question is, a conspiracy by whom? Well, the obvious suspect would be the CIA. Why else would the agency withhold critical evidence from investigators? Is there a benign explanation for that, for maintaining this level of secrecy for this many years? Not that we're aware of. And it is illegal. In 1992, Congress passed the President John F. Kennedy Assassination Records Collection Act. And that act mandated full disclosure of all documents by 2017, 54 years after JFK was killed. The last administration promised to comply fully with that law, but under intense pressure from CIA Director Mike Pompeo, withheld in the end thousands of pages of CIA documents. Today, this afternoon, the Biden administration did exactly the same thing. That would be thousands of pages of documents after nearly 60 years, after the death of every single person involved. But we still can't see them. Clearly, it's not to protect any person. They're all dead. It's to protect an institution. But why? Well, today we decided to find out. We spoke to someone who had access to these still-hidden CIA documents, a person who was deeply familiar with what they contain. We asked this person directly, did the CIA have a hand in the murder of John F. Kennedy, an American president? And here's the reply we received verbatim. Quote, the answer is yes. I believe they were involved. It's a whole different country from what we thought it was. It's all fake.
I think that is one of the most powerful newscasts I've ever heard concerning the JFK. And the truth is coming out, and we're starting to see it, because, you know, it's just like the whole Trump thing with 50 CIA and FBI agents coming out to testify that the Russian collusion was real, and you find out none of it was real. Mm-hmm. But I want to read a tweet. This is from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and it says, the most courageous newscast in 60 years. The CIA's murder of my uncle was a successful coup d'etat from which our democracy has never recovered. Now that's
a big statement.
Unbelievable. So, you know, you just can't make this stuff up. And then in light of everything that's going on, it's unbelievable. I want to play just a little bit more of this clip, and then we'll move on.
It's hard to imagine a more jarring response than that. Again, this is not a, quote, conspiracy theorist that we spoke to. Not even close. This is someone with direct knowledge of the information that once again is being withheld from the American public. And the answer we received was unequivocal. Yes, the CIA was involved in the assassination of the president. Now, some people will not be surprised to hear that. They suspected it all along. But no matter how you feel about or what you thought about the Kennedy assassination, pause to consider what this means. It means that within the U.S. government, there are forces wholly beyond democratic control. These forces are more powerful than the elected officials that supposedly oversee them. These forces can affect election outcomes. They can even hide their complicity in the murder of an American president. In other words, they can do pretty much anything they want. They constitute a government within a government, mocking by their very existence the idea of democracy. As cynical as we have become after 30 years of watching government officials ignore the voters who employ them, we were shocked to learn this. It's not acceptable. Americans have trusted their government less with every passing year since the killing of John F. Kennedy. Maybe this is why. And people have known this for a long time. The people who knew would include every director of the CIA since November of 1963. And that list would include Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, one of the most sinister and dishonest figures in American life. That list would also include, we are sad to say, our friend Mike Pompeo, who ran the CIA in the last administration. Mike Pompeo knew this. We asked Pompeo to join us tonight, and though he rarely turns down a televised interview, he refused to come. We hope he will reconsider. Subscribe.
So I think that is really unbelievable, but believable. We all knew something was wrong. We
right.
all, like you say, we've been mistrusting our government, and this is what our founders warned us about, is government is like a monster. If you don't keep it caged, it'll get out and will consume you.
And we're finding out more and more the lies that is coming out. I mean, it's unbelievable how many lies we're starting to uncover and how long the lies have been going on to the American people.
Yeah, it's really crazy. But I do want to play a little clip for Trump here. Now, this is what Trump – and I think this tells you why the existing – status quo, this deep state, the people in government that are, you know, the minions of these guys, if you will, or part of the machine, or just have their own agendas, and it's not necessarily for the good of the American people.
Usually isn't.
Well, I think this is why Trump was targeted, is because he's not controllable and he's not playing ball with these guys. I think he got in over his head, and it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, if you look at what happened in this last election, would you rather have somebody, Trump, for example, that actually thinks that America should be in charge of its own destiny, it's not a world thing, pulls out all these trade agreements, starts ramping up oil and gas production so that we can be self-independent,
right.
You know, and self-reliant, starts bringing manufacturing all back in from China and every place else so that, you know, we can start manufacturing our own goods and services and not be dependent on these foreign powers so that we don't have to bend the knee, so to speak, to, you know, to play ball.
Right. He got in there and he was doing a lot for us, for America. He put America first.
Right.
That's for sure. I have to say, I think he didn't realize how deep the trenches were on the deep state.
Well, let's...
And maybe he had to put certain things in place to start working to change it. It's not something you can just, you know, flip the switch and it's over with. It doesn't work that way.
Well, we do have a couple minutes, and this is about a five-minute clip, but I think what we'll do is we'll go to a break first and then come back and play the clip. And people out there have probably heard a lot of this, but I want to reinforce it by you know, playing it after that Tucker Carlson spot. And, you know, mm-hmm. we're all starting to see how real this is. And we're all starting to see that, you know, this, media is in collusion. The mainstream media is in collusion with these guys. I mean, it's big tech, social media,
big pharma,
mainstream
all of
media,
them. Yeah.
All of them are in collusion with this thing for their world government, Dr. Klaus Schwab, Dr.
Soros
Evil.
Dr. Evil and the
FTX.
Whole.
I mean.
All of it. Yeah.
It's all there at this point. And we can start to see how it's been there to try to circumvent the sovereignty of the American people. And we, as sovereign citizens, the only way that you become subjugated is when you decide to give up.
When you allow them to, when you don't stand up and you bow down to them, basically, is what's happened.
Well, that's why
the people have gone along.
That's why the name of this program is Sovereign Minds, because as long as you have a sovereign mind, you'll never bend the knee to these people that are criminals. And I mean, that's really what we got right now. We have the state, you know, it's not the state of the union. It's the state of the mafia criminal activity at this point.
So, yeah, it's the mafia. With that, we're going to go to a break and we'll pick it up on the other side.
OJ did it, and everyone knows, but that's too true for radio. Old Waylon is rolling over in his grave at the songs that they're passing for country these days. Epstein didn't kill himself, everyone knows, but that's too true for radio. Sing about it, they'll show you the door.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Clean Car Wash at 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at just $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean All Cloth Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift for Christmas or for your car or truck. Stop by 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Hello, I'm Shannon Phillips with the McConnell Foundation. As part of Operation Holiday Salute, we would like to take a moment to thank our veterans and the brave men and women who are currently serving in the armed forces. At the McConnell Foundation, our mission is to help build better communities through philanthropy. We value excellence and integrity, using our personnel, facilities, and financial resources to create and support positive change. We are honored to be a part of Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Famous politician of all.
Teddy the red-nosed senator had a very shiny car. And if you ever saw it, you were probably near a bar. All of the other senators wondered how he got his dames. They thought he drank too many to play in any bedroom games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Teddy, with your nose so red, won't you help me guide my sled? That's how the police found them, wrapped around a maple tree. Teddy, the red-nosed senator, he's a drunken SOB.
He's a drunken SOB.
Yeah, nobody's safe around us. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So I want to get to this Tucker clip. Or no, not the Tucker clip, but the
Trump
clip. And this kind of feathers in with what was just on Tucker's show. And this is Trump. I'm starting to say Mr. President, our current president, is what I think. I guess if you cheat, it doesn't matter, right? Here we go. And
if we don't have free speech, then we just don't have a free country. It's as simple as that. If this most fundamental right is allowed to perish, then the rest of our rights and liberties will topple, just like dominoes, one by one.
Now, I want to preface this. The reason his voice sounds a little weird is I have it speeded up. So that
I was wondering, because I was going to say something, because it doesn't sound like he...
It's Trump, but I just want to let everybody know I speeded it up a little bit so we get this thing out of the way as quickly as possible.
Dominoes, one by one, they'll go down. That's why today I'm announcing my plan to shatter the left-wing censorship regime and to reclaim the right to free speech for all Americans. And reclaim is a very important word in this case because they've taken it away. In recent weeks, bombshell reports have confirmed that a sinister group of deep state bureaucrats, Silicon Valley tyrants, left-wing activists, and depraved corporate news media have been conspiring to manipulate and silence the American people. They have collaborated to suppress vital information on everything from elections to public health. The censorship cartel must be dismantled and destroyed, and it must happen immediately. And here's my plan. First, within hours of my inauguration, I will sign an executive order banning any federal department or agency from colluding with any organization, business, or person to censor, limit, categorize, or impede the lawful speech of American citizens. I will then ban federal money from being used to label domestic speech as mis- or disinformation. And I will begin the process of identifying and firing every federal bureaucrat who has engaged in domestic censorship, directly or indirectly, whether they are the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health, Human Services, the FBI, the DOJ, no matter who they are. Second, I will order the Department of Justice to investigate all parties involved in the new online censorship regime, which is absolutely destructive and terrible, and to aggressively prosecute any and all crimes identified. These include possible violations of federal civil rights law, campaign finance laws, federal election law, securities law, and antitrust laws, the Hatch Act, and a host of other potential criminal, civil, regulatory, and constitutional offenses. To assist in these efforts, I am urging House Republicans to immediately send preservation letters, and we have to do this right now, to the Biden administration, the Biden campaign, and every Silicon Valley tech giant, ordering them not to destroy evidence of censorship. Third, upon my inauguration as president, I will ask Congress to send a bill to my desk revising Section 230 to get big online platforms out of censorship business. From now on, digital platforms should only qualify for immunity protection under Section 230 if they meet high standards of neutrality, transparency, fairness, and non-discrimination. We should require these platforms to increase their efforts to take down unlawful content such as child exploitation and promoting terrorism while dramatically curtailing their power to arbitrarily restrict lawful speech. Fourth, we need to break up the entire toxic censorship industry that has arisen under the false guise of tackling so-called mis- and disinformation. The federal government should immediately stop funding all nonprofits and academic programs that support this authoritarian project. If any U.S. university is discovered to have engaged in censorship activities or election interferences in the past, such as flagging social media content for removal of blacklisting, those universities should lose federal research dollars and federal student loan support for a period of 5 years and maybe more. We should also enact new laws laying out clear criminal penalties for federal bureaucrats who partner with private entities to do an end run around the Constitution and deprive Americans of their First, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment rights. In other words, deprive them of their vote. And once you lose those elections and once you lose your borders like we have, you no longer have a country. Furthermore, to confront the problems of major platforms being infiltrated by legions of former deep staters and intelligence officials, there should be a 7-year calling off period before any employee of the FBI, CIA, NSA, DNI, DHS, or DOD is allowed to take a job at a company possessing vast quantities of U.S. user data. Fifth, the time has finally come for Congress to pass a digital bill of rights. This should include a right to digital due process. In other words, government officials should need a court order to take down online content, not send information requests such as the FBI was sending to Twitter. Furthermore, when users of big online platforms have their content or accounts removed, throttled, shadow banned, or otherwise restricted, no matter what name they use, they should have the right to be informed that it's happening, the right to a specific explanation of the reason why, and the right to a timely appeal. In addition, all users over the age of 18 should have the right to opt out of content moderation and curation entirely and receive an unmanipulated stream of information if they so choose. The fight for free speech is a matter of victory or death for America and for the survival of Western civilization itself. When I am president, this whole rotten system of censorship and information control will be ripped out of the system at large. There won't be anything left. By restoring free speech, we'll begin to reclaim our democracy and save our nation. Thank you, and God bless America.
I think that was pretty powerful considering when you put all this together, and I think this makes it's pretty self-explanatory why they have been after Trump for so long. They're even trying to pass a bill right now that, you know, in Congress to eliminate him from running, you know, for something that he wasn't convicted of or never did. You know, it's like these people are just evil off the charts, and we're seeing that more and more, and the Band-Aid's getting pulled off the off.
Yeah,
the
it staff. Is more and more that like we said earlier, the truth is coming out more and more about what they're doing and have been doing to the American people. And a lot of people, I think, are starting to see it on both sides of the aisle, if you want to put it that way. A lot of Americans are going, wait a minute, this ain't, you know, something's been screwy for a while, and now we're starting to get some answers and see some stuff.
Well, and also we have to take responsibility as Americans.
We do.
That you can't keep blaming the problem when you are not part of the solution. And that's what's been happening for quite some time. It's starting to turn. People are getting involved. That's why you're seeing the school board races starting to happen. You're starting to see the board of supervisors starting to win. You're starting to see people.
Elections called.
Well, people like Carrie Lake out there I'm just not going to go away after you cheated. So it's definitely getting interesting, and boy, I'll tell you.
Well, even if he wasn't able to ban it all, just part of it, what would happen across America if we just had one or two news cycles on the mainstream media that told the truth, did true journalism? What would happen with our country?
Well, and again, it's not a matter of banning. It's a matter of not taking out the content that you don't like, and that's
right,
what they've
that's
been doing.
True.
You know, they have been taking out the content they don't like. You know, and they use all this language. Oh, that was violence. It was, you know, misinformation. You know, it
that's
was
their favorite one.
You're dangerous. You know, the real deal is that what they're doing is the misinformation, the dangerous, and banning content and opposing speech. You know, it's like saying, oh, January 6th was violent, no, it wasn't. I guess burning down federal buildings in Portland is not violence. Because
no, it's not.
One-way street with these guys, you know. And
across the board, no matter what subject we're on, whether it's burning or whatever, they don't get prosecuted. It's fine whatever they do.
Well, it's an information war, and that's what this is really about, is that they are, you know, anybody who opposes the agenda of this government takeover, of this, free speech quelling, you know, shadow banning, all of it, anybody who opposes it, you know, and basically says, hey, we need to uphold the First Amendment, because if we don't have the First Amendment, you start losing so that's why the First Amendment is the First Amendment. It's the most important of the amendments to try to preserve all the other ones. And then obviously the Second Amendment
goes with that.
Absolutely. So,
yeah, it's very important because once we lose it, if we lose something like that, we've lost. It's not like you can just turn the clock back and get it all back. It doesn't work that way.
Well, you know, what happens is that Steven Crowder said it the other day. There was, he said, yeah, once people have no voice, once people have no alternative, once people have no, you know, way of interjecting into the discussion, when there is no marketplace of ideas, when there is no, you know, rebuttal to whatever's being said, when all of the opposing information is blocked at whatever level, social media, you know, the news cycles, the mainstream media, whatever, you know, and you take away everybody's rights, at what point in time do you go, they don't have any other choice? And with that said, I mean, I've got...
Yeah, you're not a free person. You're not a free society after that point.
Well, and here's a gal down in Brazil. A Brazil mom fights for freedom, and the caption is, only the armed forces can save Brazil. Well, at some point in time, when everything's gone and all the rights have been squashed, you know, that's where you end up, and that's where we don't want to go. You know, we don't want to have violence. We want a peaceful discourse. We want a peaceful changing of the government. But when they're cheating, when they're lying, when you've got the CIA and the FBI manipulating all the data, manipulating the government, manipulating the media, the headlines, all of it, when you've got, you know, them stuffing the ballot boxes, when you've got them with machines that change the course of the vote, when you have all this going on, if you're not able to correct it, you don't have a choice.
Right. We've got to do something, because it's criminals that are calling the shots for everything, and we need to change that. And people need to see it for what it is. And that's what they are. They're like the mafia up there right now. They're just doing all kinds of bad stuff.
I'm not even sure they're like the mafia.
Or cartel.
I think they are the mafia.
Well, okay, you could say that, but it's not good.
No.
You know, it's not good at all across the board, no matter what we're discussing, whether it's the mainstream media, you know, your liberty, just in your own town. I mean, it's everything in our lives is different than what it's supposed to be.
Well,
it's upside down right now, what it is.
You look at some of the things that are targeting. I'm looking at this with the recent release of the Twitter Files 6. Gateway Pundit readers and listeners know that they have been discussing the portals of government and nonprofit censorship and censorship, and they've been one of the targets. You know, you've had Bongino one of the targets. All kinds of people have been targeted, but it's funny. The only ones that are getting targeted are the people who are conservatives. So
yeah, and then they get all, they got banned.
Well, got banned for hate speech.
I don't mean Bongino. I mean the other guys on the left are going,
yeah,
we got banned.
That's what I'm saying.
They get picked on.
They just banned the biggest one, who was the biggest hate speech of all.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name. Was it Lorenz?
Elon's a bad guy because he banned us.
Well, Twitter suspends queen of doxing, and that was Washington Post reporter Taylor Lorenz, you know, and you go, well, now that they're leveling the field of the platform, all of a sudden, it's a real problem.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that clip of that senator or congressman I saw the other day when she says, basically, you know, you know, free speech or hate speech should be banned and violence should be banned, all this stuff. And then she pulls up her Twitter account showing how she's doing nothing but hate speech these guys get banned, and then it's like,
you ought to feel sorry for us. And with that, we will go to the phones. We got Siskiyou Steve. Good morning. What you got, Steve?
The suspicious part about Trump, and I'm definitely a Trump person, but I can't believe with all the experience that he's had with all the big mega this or that in his business life, and being a contractor, I've had to deal with a lot of it, but not at his level, you know what I mean, but at his level, internationally, he's known about the CCP for how many years? And, you know, the CCP has infiltrated our country for how many years? You know, hopefully we're going to find that out, but all of these politicians have been paid buku dollars, you know, the left, to tell these out-and-out lies and just blatant lies. And so, you know, until we get hold of just how powerful the CCP is in our country, and it's not been mentioned yet once this morning, my hat's off to poked a hornet's nest. They had a great show this morning. I love listening to your shows. You really bring so much information out. But, you know, we've got to talk more about the responsibility of confronting the CCP in our country, and all those people who took the money need to, you know, if we got all that money back that was taken, or the property that they have bought in this country, if we got all that money back, we could take care of so many more things in our country. So, again, I mean, you know, I bring up the constitutional sheriff. I bring up, you know, the people are responsible for taking our country back. And now, you know, we need to bring to the forefront just how powerful China is. It is China-fornia. You know, California is
I'm still trying to figure out what the problem with Trump was. Of course, he knew about the CCP. And again, I'm not defending Trump. I'm not a sycophant of Trump. I call him as I see him. You know, and but what I'm saying is that these people, when Trump got in there, have been so powerful. It's like what Schumer said about the CIA and the FBI and these guys. You know, basically they have six ways of Sunday of getting even with you. And they were on Trump from day one, and he got a ton of stuff done. But yeah, you know, he was not a sycophant for China like what we've got there now. And I'm saying this is a combination of a whole bunch of stuff. This is a combination of not just China, but you've got other interests besides China. You know, with the World Economic Forum, with these...
They got BlackRock in there.
And I
will have to say there are some states that are giving the money back to, like, BlackRock and telling them, you know what, you get the hell out of my state. We're not going to deal with you anymore. You're not going to have the power here.
If you're talking about FTX, you know, and that whole debacle, you know, with the money going to Ukraine and then from Ukraine back to FTX and then FTX back into the Democratic Party, we were paying for all that. So it's on every single level, it seems like, and to have one man straighten the whole thing out, I think was an impossibility, because without the American people waking up, without the American people standing with him, what could he do?
That's what I'm saying. With the states taking back, like I say, I know that they're starting to make China and BlackRock not be in their states. The governors are going, you know what?
Right.
We're done with this.
Right.
We're not allowing this in our state. And I believe one is South Dakota, and I believe one is Oklahoma.
Right. Well, I know South Dakota is, but we live here with Gruesome Newsom, you know, the Despicable Me guy, you know. And so this is a battle. We're in an information war, and the people are starting to wake up because they're getting alternative information. And prior to this, you weren't getting alternative information. They were squashing everything.
Right. So how come we're not in California? How come we're not... looking into the election and how Gruesome Newsom was still in there.
Well,
I think it might be being looked into right now with different organizations.
You got to start somewhere. We can pick out topics where there's problems across the board and say, why aren't they doing this and why? Well, number one, who's they? They is us. And you have to start out at the local levels. You have to get control of your supervisors. You got to get control of your school boards, because you can't just go after Newsom because the courts are rigged at this point. You've got to get it to the point. Yeah. So go ahead.
You guys, you know, you do a great job in bringing information out. And that's what I do, is try to bring more information to the forefront through your radio show and calling in and making a comment. But, you know, again, with Trump knowing as much as he knows, and the military knowing as much as they know, and the Constitution that they took, this should have never happened. This, what we've gone through the last 2 years, should have never happened.
I agree, but
who knew that they were going to do what they did with the election?
Here's the thing.
The military has information, you know, and so who's letting this go by? And then again, they say, well, we had to let the public know so we didn't become a dictatorship and just say, you guys are bad. We know you're bad. We're going to take over.
Well, here's the thing.
Too many left.
Here's the thing, Steve. I took the oath to protect and defend the Constitution when I went into the Army as well. And so did all the senators, and so did all the congressmen, and so did all the presidents. And but it doesn't mean a damn thing if you don't really support and defend it. And that's where we're at. And so,
if you're not held accountable for
well,
that.
Well, it's not even a held of accountable. If I take an oath and I don't care if the, I'm just raising my hand and saying it, that and it doesn't mean anything, and I really am not supporting and defending it, then it doesn't matter that I'm taking the oath. What matters is whether I actually support and defend it. And so you've got some people that are supporting and defending the Constitution, and Chuck Schumer took the oath to become a senator. Is he supporting and defending it? That's the battle, and the battle is of ideas, and the battle is in the trenches between, is freedom a better system than what these guys think? These guys think that the government taking care of everybody on the left is a better system. They think that government should take care of you from womb to tomb, your health care, everything. Well, what they don't wake up to is the fact that when you get to a point where you don't have any more rights, then the government doesn't take care of you at all. What it does is exploit you and turns you into a slave. That's why freedom is so important, is because the standard of living does get better for everybody, and you work harder when you have something in the game, when you have skin in the game. When it's all handed to you, you don't want to work hard. Nobody does, and so production falls off, everything falls off. So it's really about the war of ideas, which is a better system.
But it's up to us to engage in that. If somebody takes an oath and they're not going to stand by the Constitution, it's our duty to get rid of them and get people in there that are going to stand up and abide by the Constitution. And that's where it comes back to local. We have to start locally and start building that up so we have people in offices that stand by us.
Well, here's the other thing, too. The people that are sitting on the fence and the people that are undecided and the people are too busy, living their lives and having fun and going hunting and swimming and whatever they do, it's not hard enough for them yet. In other words, what Bongino says, I think, is totally true. It's not gotten ugly enough yet. It hasn't affected them enough yet. But when there's food shortages, when your kids are hungry, that's when it starts to mean something, and then we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, their priorities will change.
Hey, thanks, you guys. You're all great.
All right,
thanks for calling in, Steve. Yeah, people's priorities will start changing when you start having pain or doing without stuff or whatever, then you start viewing things in a whole different light.
Well, I think they already are changing, and we're seeing it, but it has to get, people are, we used to call it the four P's, pain, pleasure, profit, and so forth. And what it is that if you don't feel any pain,
there's no gain.
There's, you don't care.
Yeah.
You don't care about the rest of it. What you care about is being comfortable, and you can be comfortable in a big pile of crap out in a cow field. If you're a gopher, you're warm and fuzzy. But as soon as the winter comes, then you're sitting out in a big pile of crap. It's not fun anymore. And sometimes that's what has to happen in order for you to figure out that you got to do something.
Right. Oh, he's busy on the phone.
Oh, okay. Well, the second half of the hour, I want to start talking about the new CDC revelation that the shots are harmful. And
we lied to you. Yeah. Oh no, we don't remember doing that.
Yeah. Oh, we'd also like to say congratulations to Arthur Gorman for being sworn in on the County Board of Education. And so that's a good thing. What else we got here? Boom, boom, boom.
Last week we had, Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom take their oath to office. And I think it was January 3rd that they take office. So
I should mention this too. When we were on the subject of FTX, Biden's DOJ arrests Sam Bankman-Fried, preventing him from incriminating himself before Congress because he was getting ready to testify before Congress. Now they've so
they were afraid that he was going to spill the beans on all of the rats that were involved in
This guy's a patsy,
and they don't. They don't want him to spill the beans.
This guy's a patsy, and I think he's starting to realize he's a patsy because he's the one that's looking at, like a 40-year prison sentence here, and he's admitted See, he didn't have very good counsel or no counsel at all. He's already admitted he did it all. He's already admitted
that he spent all the money. Yeah, his girlfriend's turning on him.
This guy's going to be the guy that eats it all, and you think these other guys are going to jump into the breach? Now, they might try to save him from testifying, but not to save him. They're trying to save their own.
Yes, they are.
He starts testifying about who he was in collision with. Well, in the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, whoever he was getting the money to and was in collusion with him. And how did this money get over to Ukraine and then back to FTX? Was there any deal, FTX, was there any deals being made with, I don't know, the Ukrainian officials? I mean, Hunter Biden and Joe Bidenstine.
Yeah, and how much money did we send between FTX and us sending money over to Ukraine?
Yeah,
you're talking a lot of money there that then got filtered back. That's called money laundering, what they were doing. Just saying, you know, but they're definitely wanting to save their own necks, and that's why they arrested him down there in the Bahamas. So I guess with that, we're at the top of the hour. Please stay tuned for the second half of Sovereign Mind Radio.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
The administration has unveiled its winter COVID-19 plans. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton takes a look.
As the cold weather months arrive, coronavirus cases are up across 90% of the country. White House COVID-19 coordinator Dr. Ajit Shah says the most important thing Americans can do is get their updated vaccine shot.
The updated COVID-19 vaccine is your best protection against the version of COVID we're fighting right now.
The White House is also once more making available free COVID-19 tests. Each household can order 4 free at-home tests, which will be mailed starting in the coming week. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The health of the housing market in the midst of rising interest rates comes into clear focus this week with release of a series of economic reports.
Monday will bring release of the National Association of Home Builders Home Builders Index for December. That's to be followed Tuesday by an update on the number of building permits issued and new houses started in November. A report on existing home sales due Wednesday, while Friday will bring an update on new home sales. Also this week, reports on consumer sentiment and the closely watched Consumer Confidence Index for December will be issued Wednesday. Rich Thomason reporting.
North Korea test-fired another pair of ballistic missiles this weekend. Experts say they could reach Japan. Probably a protest of Tokyo's adoption of a new security strategy pushing for a more aggressive stance toward North Korea and China. The launch comes 2 days after the North claimed to have performed a key test on a new, more dangerous ICBM. Jewish people around the world begin celebrating Hanukkah tonight. The annual Festival of Lights marks the restoration of the temple in 139 B.C. during the rebellion of the Maccabees. The party will continue for 8 nights and include the giving of gifts and many meals. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Fleet Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-626-5252. That's 800-626-5252. 800-626-5252.
A former Long Island teacher who admits giving a student an unauthorized shot of a COVID vaccine, as seen in a viral TikTok video, has pleaded guilty.
Laura Parker Russo gave her son's 17-year-old friend the COVID vaccine last year at her home. She pled guilty to unauthorized practice of medicine and disorderly conduct. In exchange for the misdemeanor plea, Russo will perform 100 hours of community service, serve a year probation, and attend counseling twice a week. She was also issued a stay-away order of protection from the teen. The 55-year-old former biology teacher could have faced felony charges and jail time. The Nassau DA says they signed off on the plea deal based on Russo's longstanding ties to the community, and her lack of a criminal record. Julie Walker, New York.
Germany has its first liquefied natural gas terminal. They opened it yesterday. Hope will take the pressure off the energy industry with the war in Ukraine. News and analysis at townhall.com. Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport to become the first to offer Waymo, the self-driving ride service.
Mayor Kate Gallego says fans who come to the city for the February 12th Super Bowl will be able to use the service to get from the airport to downtown Phoenix, where many of the pregame events will take place. A test group's been using electric Jaguar models from the station to the downtown area since early November. A Waymo official says the autonomous vehicle unit of Google's California-based parent company Alphabet will also double its service territory in downtown. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
Today is Sunday, December the 18th, and some famous people are having a birthday, including Rolling Stones icon Keith Richards. He's made it to 79, folks. Hollywood icon Steven Spielberg is 76. International Tennis Hall of Famer Arantxa Sánchez Vicario has 51 candles on her cake. Pop singer Billie Eilish is 21. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
We're at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. I want to talk a little bit about Keith Richards still being alive.
I know. When I heard that he was 79 years old, it's like, wow, really?
Now there is a testament to how much the human body can take. That guy has probably consumed more drugs than Pfizer has available. And the guy's still kicking. He's starting to look like something off of the mummy. But
well, he's always kind of had an odd look to him. But, yeah, more so now.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. So this next hour, let's talk about COVID-19.
Oh. You
know, up 90%.
Or all the BS that comes with it.
Oh, my gosh. It's so I'm gonna read this. This is from the Hodge twins on Twitter. So the FDA finally came out and said that Pfizer's COVID shots causes blood clots, you know?
Right.
And of course that's controversial. Except
that's misinformation.
Except that they did. And then so Elon Musk tweeted back, much will come to light as Fauci loses power. And so, this information, yeah, I like that, Jimmy. Keith has spilled more drugs than most people have seen. It's true. It's true. So I want to read a letter here, and then we'll get to the rest of the COVID stuff. Tyranny, noun, plural, tyrannies. Arbitrary and unrestrained exercise of power, despotic abuse of authority. Number two, oppression and unjustly severe government on the part of any ruler. Number three, undue severity or harshness. A cruel or harsh act or proceeding an arbitrary, oppressive, or tyrannical action. Arbitrary abuse of power, definition of tyranny. We've seen that. Friends and patriots. Tyrants censor the truth. Tyrants silence the truth. Tyrants have no regard for the truth. Censorship has worsened. Words are being redefined. Doctors are now routinely threatened with the loss of their medical license. The Bill of Rights does not apply to those who challenge the approved Washington narrative, like the people on January 6th. Okay. they were punished unjustly and harshly, and the one who's writing this letter was spent 60 days in a maximum security prison for delivering a speech. In the face of losing our medical freedoms and individual liberty, the mission of America's frontline doctors is to restore freedom by delivering truth and real-world solutions through verified independent medical and legal expertise. And thanks to your continued support, we are committed to providing we the people with tools and research to lead our country back to our founding principles, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Over the past years, AFL, that's America's Frontline Doctors, executed their mission through specific medical, legal, and communication strategies and are committed to sharing the truth, saving lives, and protecting your freedom through their media campaigns, including Frontline News, Frontline Flash, and A Daily Dose with Dr. Peterson Pierre. And I also noticed that Dr. Robert Malone is back on Twitter as of yesterday or the day before. Their citizens group, grassroots activists in every state, are legal and policy division supporting strategies, litigation, and public policy influence, and their medical and science team provided accurate treatment information and soon bringing a critical new initiative for 2023, Drain the Science Swamp. Over the Christmas and New Year's season, be joyful and stand strong together. Our joy is something that tyrants will never defeat, and therefore we will triumph. And that's from Dr. Simone Gold.
I was just going to say, I think she was banned too, and she's back on Twitter. I was just looking at a tweet from her.
Absolutely.
And it talks about, you know, COVID-19 linked to blood clotting. And it says underneath, it says, we were right.
Yeah, exactly right.
Many times were they right on a lot of stuff that's gone on with the vaccines that was supposed to be misinformation or disinformation, or they were lying. They didn't have any proof. And it, again, like we've talked, it's coming out more and more. No, they were telling the truth to the American people.
Well, this comes in from Lori. Here's the official response from the CDC about the death safety signal being triggered in the VAERS system. And this is actually Steve Kirch's newsletter. And it says, I can't believe it. The CDC actually replied when asked about the death safety signal being triggered in the VAERS that just came in. The question was submitted to the CDC on October 11th, 2022 at 1:54 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Is this true that the death safety signal in the VAERS system triggered and nobody at the CDC noticed, as pointed out in this article? If not, can you supply the correction calculation? The CDC's response 6 weeks later, as you might expect, they sidestepped the question. Uh-huh. They said that since the calculation was done by a third party, they couldn't comment on it. But you can rest assured that the CDC is monitoring the VAERS for safety signals. Now, the official response that was received from the vaccine safety, this is CDC, vaccine safety at cdc.gov, it's on Wednesday, November 23rd, about the inquiry into the safety of the VAERS system. Dear Doctor, thank you for your inquiry into the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. Director Rochelle Walensky, MD, so forth, regarding your concern about the vaccine adverse event reporting system, your message was referred to her office. All right. CDC was not involved with the work you mentioned in your correspondence, and I don't want to, you know, go over every little thing. Disclaimer, CDC is unable to comment on the analysis conducted outside the agency. CDC has published presenting an openly discussion of vaccine safety, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So the real deal is, though, that they did. Around 90% of the report to VAERS after the COVID-19 vaccinations have been non-serious, okay? Healthcare providers who administer the COVID-19 vaccinations required under the provider agreements of the VAERS program by the Food and Drug Administration to report certain serious adverse events like deaths, okay? Regardless of whether the reporter thinks the vaccine causes the adverse event. This required reporting is one reason why the many reports to VAERS do not represent adverse events called. So, you know, when you get to the bottom line after you go through this whole thing, they actually have caused, through these methods, the FDA and the CDC have successfully identified various rare safety signals.
safety signals related to the COVID-19 vaccine, including anaphylaxis, thrombosis, I don't even know how to say that, thrombocytopenia, somebody could call in and correct that, followed by use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine, myocarditis, pericarditis, following the Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna. This information is included in the fact sheet, blah, 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 blah. Let's see, if it's reused, vaccine are accessible. So we're also finding out that, so the answer is yes, they did get a safety signal, and nobody even, you know, they're saying it's rare, but, you know, by the time rarity doesn't matter. You're supposed to be telling everybody what's going on. Okay, so.
Right, yeah. Which so, they didn't do.
Which they didn't do. Okay. So through these methods, the CDC has identified these things. And the information is included in the fact sheet of both the healthcare providers administering vaccines and vaccine recipients and caregivers. Continued monitoring has identified 9 deaths casually associated with the Johnson & Johnson, older. So there's a bunch of stuff here.
Isn't that amazing that they couldn't report that correctly or anything? But there, and even now, how long did it go on? Every day you got reports, about the vaccine and people dying because they weren't vaccinated, and it was all over everything. But they couldn't report that.
Well, and the thing is that they're saying it's rare, because it's, if you have 12 per million blood clots, okay, and then you add on top of that the myocarditis and the pericarditis, and, you know, when you start adding it as an aggregate, how many sudden death syndromes have we got? When you go through the whole thing, well, it's, do you think that maybe we should have told everybody that so they can make their own decision? And they're still pushing it. And on top of that, we also know that it doesn't prevent you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. It doesn't protect you from the severity of it.
All it does is give you other ailments.
Do you know what it does?
It makes you sicker than what you were
it
before.
It makes Pfizer and then rich.
Yeah.
That's what it does.
Or kills you.
And also, it gives more control over to the government by causing a pandemic that could have been handled by staying at home, drinking some hot tea and lemon with honey in it. Okay?
We don't even know all of the effects, like with the children and the unborn. How far is it going to go? But
I'm looking at a story. Washington State baby dies from blood clot following surgery using vaxxed blood. So evidently,
That's another thing. Have they tested people that gave blood?
Well,
and it doesn't stay in your blood, and then you go in and you get a blood transfusion, and guess what?
So let me see. If I was given full disclosure, here, take this shot or this booster that doesn't stop it, doesn't prevent it, doesn't stop the spread of it, doesn't really help me in any way to fight the disease, and I have a chance of dying of a heart disease or a heart attack. And I could get blood clots. I could have sudden death syndrome, and we don't know.
Who knows what else you might have?
Let's see. Risk reward. Do the risks outweigh the reward? And the old Hippocratic oath of do no harm.
They're not supposed to.
So
we're not supposed to be their guinea pig.
So here we got this boy in Washington, his name is Alex, suffered from a heart condition with a 95% survivability rate, but died after he received surgery using blood from a COVID-vaccinated hospital supply. His parents were wary of COVID vaccines and found an unvaccinated blood donor from their church, but Sacred Heart Children's Hospital in Spokane, Washington claimed that they could not find the blood from the donor and instead used the blood from the hospital supply. Baby Alex subsequently experienced a blood clot reaching from his left knee all the way to his heart. The clot became infected, but antibiotics and blood thinners failed. In a shocking turn of events, the Sacred Heart Children's Hospital is now supposedly telling the family there's no record of baby Alex ever having been at the hospital, despite pictures, medical bills, and death certificate verifying his stay.
Wow. They just won't. They'll go to any limit, won't they?
Well,
and they don't care. They're always, we care about the children. If you don't get vaccinated or whatever, you don't care about the children. But they'll cover that up about a child? Yeah, they really care, right?
Well, and the real deal is that we've lost touch. A lot of people have lost touch with our basic morality. The reason that, the American people were, better, if you will, unusual, what's the word I'm looking for, special, is because they had
unique,
because they believed in a set of principles of, basically, do unto your neighbor as you would have him do unto you. You know, there was a moral content to our character. The Ten Commandments, Christianity. Now, that doesn't mean everybody was, but the overall pervasive attitude in the country was one of Christian values where, we all wanted to do the best we could for each other. It seems like we've lost that now, and I'm not sure if it's money or, whether you don't believe in God, whether you don't believe in morality, whatever it is.
Whatever. I just think we don't have a good foundation, like you say, for whatever reason that is. What that is people don't care. You know? We've got to get back to a good foundation. You can't build a house if you don't have a good foundation. It's gonna topple over, you know?
Now,
people don't teach their children, kids growing up and everything. They don't know anything except what they're taught, and people aren't teaching them the proper things, a lot of them. They're sending them to public school, and we know what they do there with them. So they don't get a proper foundation to start with, a lot of them.
Well, and here's another article. Okay, this is about Peter McCullough. Dr. Peter McCullough says that, and this is what he's saying. He's saying that the mRNA can be spread, the coronavirus can be spread by people who receive the COVID vaccines to other people. So now, not only not only does it, you super spreader, you didn't get the vaccine, but the guys who are getting the vaccines are the super spreaders.
Yeah,
wow.
They're the ones that are making
and
it
then,
worse.
And then we had Steve talk about the CCP, and gee, this couldn't be something that came out of a virus out of the Wuhan lab or anything that Fauci knew about and got paid millions of dollars to cover up. And so let's see. It doesn't stop me from getting it. It doesn't stop me from spreading it. It actually gives it to me so I can spread it.
Gives me the virus so I can give it to everybody else and share it.
Yeah. What? Okay, so Peter McCullough says that the mRNA can be spread by people who receive the vaccines to other people who refused the injections. Who's the spreaders? He says it is transmitted through close contact, such as kissing, sexual contact, breast milk, and so forth. He says the mRNA appears to never leave the body. He says that the COVID vaccines changed the human genome, I guess that's how it's pronounced, and that two vaccinated people can pass the code. So this is what they've done, is they've changed their DNA.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I just was talking with somebody, and it's very hard if you could ever get it all the way out of your system. They don't even know how long it will take if you can get all of that out of your system.
I mean, this
it
is this
sticks
a,
with you.
Is this
and if you're changing
solution?
The DNA, I mean.
Now, I don't know Dr. Peter McCullough all that well. I don't know if this is spot-on information, but it's kind of good information to maybe, sort of balance out what maybe all the crap we got from Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, that there is no problem until like 2 years later. Oh, yeah, by the way, people do die, and you can't spread it, and it doesn't stop the spread, and it gives it to you.
Yeah, we still don't know, like I say, we don't know how long it's going to stay in the system because we haven't had time to check it. We've only got a couple years into this.
Yeah, with no clinical trials. And by the way, we just ran a commercial saying, go out there and get your vaccine before the lockdowns start again, basically. And now they're talking about more lockdowns. So the word I'm getting is that the COVID was not the problem. It was the solution for the government for the complete takeover. And now the shots, what is this, the Georgia Guidestone thing? I don't know. All I'm saying is that why were we not more cautious with the rollout of this crap? Was it we were so scared of dying from the COVID? Okay, well, are we
yeah,
more
why
scared
didn't
of
we look at it after the 15 days? Remember, was it 14 or 15 days?
Yeah, well, oh, yeah.
Oh, for the curve? To flatten the curve. Why didn't they start looking at stuff after that what was really going on. No, they just ramped it up because Dr. Fauci said, this is what we need to do, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Now I can't recall saying any of that under oath, you know. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I don't know.
It's all a big mistake.
You guys, that's not what I said. You guys are wrong. You guys...
I deny everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Could you please pass me that bagel and cream cheese? So
in the chat room, we got the CDC billboard that says the death safety signal in VAERS was triggered long ago. Why didn't anyone at the CDC notice?
Okay, so let's go on with our little article here. The government rushes the jab through, their approval process, and there's no assurances that they were safe. There were no genotoxicity studies. He said that in autopsies, the spike protein is found in the heart and the brain. And then this Helen Benown wrote, lipid nanoparticles or their natural equivalents, exosomes and extracellular vesicles, I guess. Again, I'm not a doctor. I have no idea how to pronounce these crappy things anyway, these big words. But I'm getting the gist of it. Have been shown to be able to be excreted through body fluids, sweat, sputum, breast milk, to pass the transplacental barrier. These EVs are also able to penetrate inhalation and through the skin, healthy or injured, as well as orally through breast milk, and why not during sexual intercourse or semen, as this has not been studied. It is urgent to enforce the legislation on gene therapy that applies to the mRNA vaccines and to carry out studies on the subject while the generalization of the vaccines is being considered. So now 2 years later and they're still pushing this crap after all this stuff. There's no studies and get your kids vaccinated and send them to school.
But what studies,
11th booster.
But what studies we do have shows that there's nothing good about this at all.
And they ignored
with the children and everybody.
And they ignored all the science. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who knows what the long term, and it's not just, you know, the physical. What about the mental we're seeing the side effects on the mental pieces on the children? You know, with the lockdowns and everything else that they've been put through the last couple of years.
Well, all I know is that things are there's a real problem here in River City, and the
I'm not going to go out and get anything anytime soon.
Starts with a capital V, rhymes with T, and stands for gene pool. I don't know. Let's go to a break and come back here.
If you want to call in and discuss something, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Fancy things the wife is missing. Didn't ask for her permission. I'm wearing her clothes, her silk pantyhose, walking round in women's underwear. In the store, there's a teddy with little straps like spaghetti. It holds me so tight, like handcuffs at night, walking round in women's underwear.
In the office, there's a guy named Melvin.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey, music lovers, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium, wishing you and yours a holiday that's merry and bright. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. We have something for everyone on your list with huge concert announcements coming soon. Stuff that stocking with the gift of experience. Shows are always more fun at the Civic. Visit ReadingCivic.com today.
Quick and Clean Car Wash at 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading has the perfect gift this holiday season. Car wash packages starting at just $9. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean All-Cloth Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading has the perfect gift for Christmas or for your car or truck. Stop by 1210 Market Street in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Hi, Bob the Drop here. The other day I had a close encounter with my friends from Mars. I visited them a few years back, and they discovered the great taste of Mount Shasta spring water. Well, I guess they ran out, so they came back to Earth to get some more. I reminded them it comes from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta, and it's bottled at the source. I guess they just didn't get the part about us delivering right to your door. Have your own close encounter by calling 1-800-922-6227 to get some of the best tasting water in the galaxy. Pure and simple, naturally, the best Mount Shasta spring water.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll feel so blue. You're just thinking about you. It'll be decorations of red on a green Christmas tree. It won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Wow. Walking around in women's underwear.
I think we got some of those up in the White House right now, don't we?
Well, that was the devil with the blue dress on. And
Who's the guy that's all the Department of...
Well, there's several. The bag stealer.
Yeah, that guy.
I can't remember his name. I don't care. He's the reason that they ran out of lipstick in the women's department.
That's disgusting.
All right. So let's want to go to our caller?
As soon as Liam is free. Well, I guess we're good. Are you there, Stones?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Mark sounded like he was vaccinated a second ago.
Well, that's
saying.
What I was saying. It's perfect timing.
Oh, my God.
He might have been.
I got a shot.
I've missed the first 90 minutes. Unsure if you have talked about the County Office of Education and their controversial policy.
Nope.
We just brought up that they were having a meeting this Tuesday. But other than that, we didn't get into what they were doing.
That's why walking around in women's underwear is kind of an appropriate theme song right before we talk about the school and their new policy. Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah. So this last Wednesday at their SCOE meeting, County Office of Education, they passed a policy 6-1, Arthur Gorman dissented, to allow kids to assert their own gender identities. And once they've done that, they get to decide if they want to use locker rooms, restrooms, and facilities of the opposite sex. Yeah, you heard me right, folks. This is in writing. They've passed it. Obviously way against conservative values in Shasta County. Don't know what they were thinking. In fact, I don't think they were thinking at all when they put this on the agenda and passed it. Their next meeting is going to be January 11th at 1:30, depending on the location when the agenda is released. They're either going to meet on Innsbruck or they're going to meet at Magnolia. So we have to look at that when the agenda is released. Please, on January 11th, Wednesday at 1:30, if you have to take a late lunch, it doesn't matter. Please show up. We need to, that location needs to be overflow into the street, into the next block, and we show up and protest that they passed this policy how vile, how damaging to the kids, their psyches, everything else. There will be kids taking advantage of this policy and creating havoc with the opposite sex. This is going to happen. And even though we warned the board of these matters, they went ahead and gave us the middle finger and passed it anyway.
All right. Well, I think, I'm sorry, Liam has got something to weigh in on here.
Hey, Rich, can you hear me?
Yeah.
So you said that children can identify themselves, is what you're saying, right?
Correct.
So everyone identifies. So maybe, like, could you elaborate a little bit on, like, what makes that wrong? Because, I mean, like, I'm a dude.
Mm-hmm.
I identify as a dude. But
yep.
But where's the line that makes that wrong? Because everyone identifies some way.
It, because of the moral and likely physical damage that will happen, there's already been cases in Virginia last year where a 15-year-old boy who was following a very similar policy took advantage of it, Liam. These kids are way too immature to be making these decisions for themselves. My God, I was that age. I know how curious I was at that age on many different levels. And to give a kid a carte blanche authority, they're giving the kids the authority to do these things, and there's going to be problems in locker rooms. There's going to be pictures taken. There's going to be physical unwanted touching. There's going to be consensual touching because the school's going to allow people of the opposite sex to be in the same room, clothed or not.
That's true.
It creates so many problems. Morality and religion aside, this is damaging to the kids because they absolutely do not have the maturity level, the intelligence level, and the life experience level for the adults to allow the kids to make these choices, because they're going to make mistakes and people will be harmed. And we as adults are supposed to be the adults in the room. Mm-hmm. And actually trying to raise kids in a moral, societally acceptable manner, so that when they're adults, they can, do the right thing. And this is not the right thing at all.
Well, let me weigh in on this a little bit. Here's a couple of things. Number one, a lot of people are going to start pulling their kids. Number two,
yep.
You can identify whatever you want, but that's not reality. You can say, I'm a cat, I'm a dog, I'm a hippopotamus, but you're not. And so what you're doing is you're reinforcing a fantasy world that doesn't exist. You are either what you are, and that's it. You're what you are. You don't get
yep.
to choose. You don't get to, when you're born, the doctor doesn't wave a magic wand and go, eeny, beeny, chili, weeny, you're this. They look at you and
yeah.
they go, boy or girl. Okay. And so this whole
yeah.
fantasy island crappy thing is just an illusionary world of stupidity, if you ask me.
And I want to add on to that. You know, they say that the children can identify and they're smart enough to know what they want to be and how they want to conduct themselves, but they're not smart enough to vote. They're not smart enough to do anything else, but they have the brains to come out and say, yeah, I
yep.
want to be the opposite sex, and I want to have sex changes, and I want to have this sent to my body.
Yep.
What
yep.
this is about more is this is about taking parental rights away from the parents is what this is about,
yep.
as well as the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, it's insane.
And kids need to be guided. Kids lose all sense of security when they realize they're the ones ones in charge. If they look at the adult
yeah.
and the adult doesn't know when ends up, then they know they're in real trouble because now they're in charge. And so what this does is causes confusion, it causes
yep.
chaos, it
uh-huh.
causes all
yep.
kinds of weird, stupid things that shouldn't happen in the first place.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so then my other question is, you know, we've heard, oh, it won't happen in Shasta County. I guess that wasn't true, huh?
Yeah, we're not teaching CRT.
Yeah, we're not but none of that's
yeah,
happening in the North
we're
State.
We're not teaching anything.
What a bunch of BS, huh?
Oh, and I'm not a socialist. Oh, okay, I'm a socialist. Oh, well, you're a communist.
Well,
no, I'm not a communist. Go ahead.
Well, and what's key here in Shasta County, this policy does not comport with the majority conservative moral values in our county. If they want to do this in the Bay Area and Sacramento and right, and the parents are not going to fight it down there, whatever. That's their swamp and they can slip in it. We don't want that here in Shasta County. It's a very minority, a very small number of people, educators and kids and even some parents, unfortunately, that will allow their kids to do these things. It is such a small minority, it's not even funny.
Well, here's the thing, too, Rich, is that that's going to have to start reflecting in the polls. That's why we need to get some honest elections. We need to get rid of those machines, and then let the parents show up and do that, and put people in the place that are going to manage these boards properly for the good of the community and the children. If not, you're going to see is what you're seeing already is conservative people are pulling their kids out of the public schools.
Well, here's my opinion, and I'm not afraid to say it. Our six county office of education board members who think that they're going to not be supervisory over the kids. No, the kids get to make these decisions because it's now in writing. I want to question the mental state of these six board members that think this is okay. I mean, holy crud. I mean, do the prisoners get to run the prison? Do the loonies get to run the loony bin? I mean, are you kidding me? In what sane world does an adult in a position of authority acquiesce their authority to juveniles for the reasons I've already stated? So I think they have a mental illness problem at that board, 6-1. I used the recall word with them. So we'll see what happens with that.
Well, there's always that. So, yeah.
Anyway, so January 11th, 1:30, once the location is set, let's fill that place up.
All right.
Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. That's so insane.
Right. Well, you want to go to our next caller?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know. We've got Dolores. Good morning, Dolores.
Good morning, Lori. I just wanted to share something because you were talking about the vaccines. And I don't know where you're okay. I actually was attending a church a while back here in Shasta Lake, and they were friends, And the pastor and his wife, they're friends of mine, but as soon as I found out that the pastor and multiple people in the church took the vaccine, I thought, oh my gosh, how can they take the vaccine? Here they're supposed to be godly people, the leaders and everything to, make sure that, they spread the word or whatever. But how can you go to church knowing that someone who actually believes in God took the vaccine? So, it's like, I stopped going, and pretty soon I just don't even want to be around people like that, because you can't just, because every time they get sick, they've been sick maybe five times already since they've taken the vaccine. So I think they're spreaders once they get sick, and they want,
I would have to, know the individual too, because, early on there was some good people. When it first started, they got the vaccine, and then they realized what was going on, and they didn't get the jab anymore. They didn't get any boosters. They are reluctant. They're sad that they did it, especially some of the elderly, because they were in fear of what was happening. I'm not saying that's what happened at your church. I'm just saying that it can't be necessarily a blanket answer to that question.
Well, and historically what has happened is that people will use fear to manipulate people, and you got to be careful of that. They use the pandemic to manipulate people, and that's not the way that these things should be, run. I mean, they should not be rolled out in such a way that everybody's afraid to do them, and they haven't done all the homework to show that this is what the right thing to do is.
Yeah, especially if they had some kind of underlying condition at the time that when it came out, I know there was. Several people I know that was elderly that was afraid because they did have underlying health conditions, and they thought, oh, well, this will just, I'll just die if I don't get it done. So you're back again to the fear piece of it.
Yeah, and the pastor's father actually is an older person, and I guess they tricked him. From what I understand, his wife told me that they tricked him to take the vaccine, and he told them he does not want to take it. He doesn't believe in that, and they basically tricked him and had him take all three vaccines.
Wow.
Well, those people should be held accountable if that's the case.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I just feel like I can't be around somebody like that, and for me to hold back from me saying something, I basically said, that's it. I'd rather stay away because I want to say something that is, So I can't believe people are just falling into that. But that's all I wanted to share. All right,
thanks for calling in. And I'm sure there's other churches to go, there's other places you can worship. So
all
there
right.
you go.
So I want to play a little bit more of The Law by Frédéric Bastiat here. And, just a short clip, and then we'll have some other articles before we get to the end of the show here. But You know, this is you know, a treatise that was done, oh gosh, in the 1800s, and this is what we should be basing our lawful government on, and we've lost sight of the principles of good government. So let's go ahead and play this. Here we go.
A just and enduring government. If a nation were founded on this basis, it seems to me that order would prevail among the people in thought as well as in deed. It seems to me that such a nation would have the most simple, easy to accept, economical, limited, non-oppressive, just, and enduring government imaginable, whatever its political form might be. Under such an administration, everyone would understand that he possessed all the privileges as well as all the responsibilities of his existence. No one would have any argument with government, provided that his person was respected, his labor was free, and the fruits of his labor were protected against all unjust attack. When successful, we would not have to thank the state for our success. And, conversely, when unsuccessful, we would no more think of blaming the state for our misfortune than would the farmers blame the state because of hail or frost. The state would be felt only by the invaluable blessings of safety provided by this concept of government. It can be further stated that, thanks to the non-intervention of the state in private affairs, our wants and their satisfactions would develop themselves in a logical manner. We would not see poor families taking literary instruction before they have bread. We would not see cities populated at the expense of rural districts, nor rural districts at the expense of cities. We would not see the great displacements of capital, labor, and population that are caused by legislative decisions. The sources of our existence are made uncertain and precarious by these state-created displacements. And furthermore, these acts burden the government with increased responsibilities. Complete perversion of the law. But unfortunately, law by no means confines itself to its proper functions. And when it has exceeded its proper functions, it has not done so merely in some inconsequential and debatable matters. The law has gone further than this. It has acted in direct opposition to its own purpose. The law has been used to destroy its own objective. It's been applied to annihilating the justice that it is supposed to maintain, to limiting and destroying rights which its real purpose was to respect. The law has placed the collective force at the disposal of the unscrupulous, who wish, without risk, to exploit the person, liberty, and property of others. It has converted plunder into a right in order to protect plunder, and it has converted lawful defense into a crime in order to punish lawful defense. How has this perversion of the law been accomplished? And what have been the results? The law has been perverted by the influence of two entirely different causes, stupid greed and false philanthropy. Let us speak of the first. A fatal tendency of mankind. Self-preservation and self-development are common aspirations among all people. And if everyone enjoyed the unrestricted use of his faculties and the free disposition of the fruits of his labor, social progress would be ceaseless, uninterrupted, and unfailing. But there is also another tendency that is common among people. When they can, they wish to live and prosper at the expense of others. This is no rash accusation, nor does it come from a gloomy and uncharitable spirit. The annals of history bear witness to the truth of it. The incessant wars, mass migrations, religious persecutions, universal slavery, dishonesty in commerce, and monopolies. This fatal desire has its origin in the very nature of man, in that primitive, universal, and insuppressible instinct that impels him to satisfy his desires with the least possible pain. Property and plunder. Man can live and satisfy his wants only by ceaseless labor, by the ceaseless application of his faculties to natural resources. This process is the origin of property. But it is also true that a man may live and satisfy his wants by seizing and consuming the products of the labor of others. This process is the origin of plunder. Now, since man is naturally inclined to avoid pain, and since labor is pain in itself, it follows that men will resort to plunder whenever plunder is easier than work.
History shows this quite clearly. And under these conditions, neither religion nor morality can stop it. When, then, does plunder stop? It stops when it becomes more painful and more dangerous than labor. It is evident, then, that the proper purpose of law is to use the power of its collective force to stop this fatal tendency to plunder instead of to work. All of the measures of the law should protect property and punish plunder. But generally, the law is made by one man, or one class of men. And since law cannot operate without the sanction and support of a dominating force, this force must be entrusted to those who make the laws. This fact, combined with a fatal tendency that exists in the heart of man to satisfy his wants with the least possible effort, explains the almost universal perversion of the law. Thus, it is easy to understand how law, instead of checking injustice, becomes the invincible weapon of injustice. It is easy to understand why the law is used by the legislator to destroy in varying degrees among the rest of the people their personal independence by slavery, their liberty by oppression, and their property by plunder. This is done for the benefit of the person who makes the law, and in proportion to the power that he holds.
I think when you start to understand this, you start to see the application of it currently and across the board in our governance. You know, what's going on up in Congress? These people are all getting rich. You know, they show up, they're not making any money. When they leave, Nancy Pelosi's got, you know, millions and millions of dollars, if not billions, through insider trading, through, you know, you got
everything.
Joe Biden with offshore deals on the Ukraine. You know, you've got this FTX where it's going into Ukraine and coming back. You know, you've got the Chinese connection with Hunter Biden and all these payoffs to use their positions. You know, they broker their positions of power for different things. And that's the problem. As soon as you start getting rid of property rights, you give the people that are in power the ability to basically strip mine you of your own rights and your property. And that's what happens is then everybody becomes poor, and then you have like you have in the CCP where the government and oligarchy and a few guys up there run everything, and that's where we're headed. And the more we understand about this, the more we're going to fight it, and the less we're going to like it, because at the end of the day, this system is what causes the collapses in the world governance and the world production, which production is what causes wealth. And when everybody stops producing because it becomes more painful to produce than it does to get on the government tit, if you will, then that's, you can see it today. Everybody's out there looking for their handout instead of looking how they can produce make something that's going to benefit society as well as themselves.
And it never works.
Well, it never does.
It never has, never will. It just doesn't work.
Well, it's like, there's nothing new on the, I think it was Solomon said there's nothing new. You know, it's the same processes over and over and over of exploitation, you know. So
before we get to the end of the show, I just want to let people know in the chat room, they posted the names of the people that did the vote at the board.
Yeah.
School board, Kathy Berry, Robert Brown, Laura Manuel, Denny Mills, and Nick Webb. And the newly seated Steve McFarland were the six that voted for it. And, of course, Arthur.
One dissenting vote was Arthur Gorman.
There you go. So I just wanted to let people know. So keep those names in the back of your head when you're out and about and attending these meetings.
Well, with that said, the economy's doing great, right?
Sure.
Gas prices have come down.
Well, they have come down. Yeah.
Right before we go back up.
Wow, we're real happy, you know. Yeah, still we're happy when we're paying $3.50 a gallon. No.
Well, I was walking around the other day in different places, and I was going by these little strip malls. And they're out of business, they're out of business, mm-hmm. they're out of business, they're out of business, they're out of business. And I went through a couple of them where they were all out of business. But we're being gaslighted and told that this administration has created more jobs than any place in history.
Unemployment.
Unemployment is better. Everything's great. We got the new bill passed. It's going to be good. We got another 80-something billion dollars or $800 billion that we pulled out of our keisters because we got the unlimited supply of money. In the meantime, we got to deal with China. Saudi Arabia is now going to start dealing with China directly on the oil and probably in yuan or gold, which means our world reserve currency status is a problem.
Well, now that you brought that up, you know, I have a hard time with the new Costco. I'm sorry, guys.
I like
but,
it. What, do you, but what, you, what don't you like?
I haven't been there. The problem is, just look at what it's doing to the small mom-and-pop stores.
Oh, well, there is that. That's what they're before.
Yeah, I get it. Everybody's like, happy, happy, joy, joy with the gas and everything. I get it. But at the same time, look what it's doing to our area. It's not just Costco. It's a big box store.
Well, what
stores.
They're going to do is that they're going to drive all the competition into the ground, and I get that. I thought you were talking about the layout. In-N-Out is pretty nice as far as it goes. It's a lot better than the other Costco, but, yeah, I get it. But that's the point is that the ma and pa's, the little guys, are going under – you know, especially in the restaurant business.
Yeah, the restaurants are really hurt. And we went someplace the other day for lunch, and they're getting broke into. You know, again, you got crime on one side of it for the restaurants, and then you got the competition that's squeezing them out. The poor mom and pop little places are having a hell of a time.
I saw a guy got food poisoning. I'm not going to name the restaurant. He was not happy. I saw another guy, same thing. The food quality's going down because I think the supply chains are starting to get stretched too
thin. There is that. You know, and then back to Costco with the gas, I just have to get this out there. You know, everybody, electric cars. Every time I drive by Costco on I-5, I don't know how many gas lines there is, but there's always lines.
It's like 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
My point being is, what happens when everybody has electric cars, or they try to do that, and everybody wants to charge their car? Do you realize how long you're going to have to sit there if you can get your car charged?
Electric cars are pie in the sky, but we do have this new fission thing that's coming online that could solve that problem, but we're decades away from it probably solving the problem.
Right.
But I want to illustrate this going back to the economy itself. With recession, this is the headline, with recession looming, major bank that contributed to the 2008 crisis announces massive layoffs. Now, this is Goldman Sachs. And they're looking to cut cuts of their workforce by 8%, according to multiple reports.
And they're going to take a hit in pay, right?
Well, they're just going to cut them.
The top guys are going to take a hit
in
pay.
Sure
Diamonds is worried
about those other guys, you know, because he's so worried about
that. Such a nice
guy. He actually listens to us with Frederick Bastiat and the law about, you know, mining production of other people at the expense of them instead of themselves, because I'm sure he works hard every day. But, but with their 49,000 employees, 8% would mean that 4,000 employees are going to probably lose their job. Now, the point is that indicates that we're in a great economy, right?
He's making all those jobs and unemployment's down.
Well, it also says I hate to be the Grinch for Christmas, the annual round of hefty bonuses could be reduced or eliminated for what the Wall Street Journal called underperforming employees, kind of like at Twitter.
Nothing for you.
Yeah, that's right. One for me, none for you.
Yeah, nothing for you.
A report in the New York Post citing the Financial Times said that the bonus pool was going to be diminished by 40%. Okay, so Goldman Sachs is not the only one that this is coming down to. Let's see, this resident told the Goldman Sachs account for serious money. Oh, by the way, there was a problem because Goldman Sachs was being held accountable for serious misconduct and falsely assuring investors that securities were sold that were backed by mortgages. Oh, we didn't hear this one before. Remember the old mortgage-backed security game?
Not here. Let's move it over there.
So, and that was Stuart Delerty, who was at the time an acting associate Attorney General with the Department of Justice, who is they're a solid organization under Merrick, right?
Right. Unbelievable. Yeah.
So we're all being gaslighted. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. So prepare out there. I mean, prepare right. is all I can tell you.
And we're almost
there's an economic storm coming.
Almost at the end of the show. Don't forget, the next two Sundays will be pre-recorded shows, or we won't be here. Let me just say that.
I think I said just play Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care.
And don't forget to go by the Big Red Barn and help support Mr. Wilkinson. It is Christmas time.
That's over there on
Barrel Court.
Barrel Court, yeah.
Yep. So get out there. And everybody have a wonderful and merry Christmas and be safe out there.
Yeah.
Because that'll be next year by the time we see you again or talk to you.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
Wow. You see your boat bike. Quick.
And I guess they're having a celebration party tonight for Kevin Cry at Hillside Church. It's in North Reading. That's all I got at 6 p.m., so there you go.
All right. So remember, I guess we're ready. Are we out of time?
We got one minute to show
okay,
time.
Okay, so I guess you were born an original, don't die copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Remember, we're going to be doing our mountaintopmedia.com podcast.
We will do
tomorrow.
A podcast. Yes, we will tomorrow.
And, so that will be up in another few days. And
I can have a very safe and merry Christmas.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It's force. And force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. And we'll see you next time.
Rabbit too. Yum, yum. Got Paul new chaw red man. All brand new spit cook. And I got my wife a new set of retreads for my pickup truck.
Ain't he the sweetest guy?
Whoa, we ain't never seen that reindeer, but we painted the bull's nose red. But runners under the outhouse, and we're using it for a sleigh.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.